Hi there, I'm Deb Crow, and I want to welcome you to Season 4 of Imperfect, the Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we connect, learn, and laugh together with authentic and courageous leaders from all over the globe. You will learn from leaders you haven't even met yet. You will gain new tools to add to your leadership toolkit, because leadership belongs to all of us. It is not measured by stature or title. So please pull up a chair and listen in. This is the Imperfect Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. So welcome back to Imperfect, the Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. And we're, as my aunt in England would say, we're going across the pond, the Atlantic Ocean today, all the way to Amsterdam. And I'm delighted to have Julie Perkins on the show. So welcome, Julie.
Well, thank you, Deborah. And thank you very much for having me. Thank you very much.
I know you said you might still be a little jet-lagged or getting over your recent trip to Japan. So thanks for squeezing us in. And I'm excited to talk to you today. So give our listeners a little overview of who you are and what you do.
Well, I like to see myself as, as a mix, a recipe of entrepreneurship. I come from a very high entrepreneurship family, a lot of energy, success, but most of my learnings have been from, the failures. So that's a little bit who I am. I come from corporate and now I run my own company supporting women entrepreneurs to grow their businesses. So that's a little bit about me and my background.
Well, we love talking about imperfection on this show, and imperfections, embracing those failures forward. And I think more people need to hear that. And I think it has to have a more permanent place in business acumen. So my first leadership question to you is, I wanted to know, how do you maximize, let's talk about current day potential and build resistance for future growth opportunities? And I'm happy for you to put your previous corporate hat on here as well as your entrepreneurial hat, because I think you've probably got two different slants on how this question could be answered. So I'm excited to hear what you're going to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, seeing both sides of the world, especially now when I work with a lot of young leaders coming into that first time leadership position, running their own business and their own company and ideas. And from the corporate background, where I was a part of a huge metropolis of leaders and people in organizations. And I think my thoughts on leadership from a corporate point of view, from where I was then, is the importance of talking with your own voice. Mm-hmm. And they're very interconnected. I often get asked by young leaders, oh, how do I become that leader I want to be? They've got this great idea and they are finding themselves in this very new position of becoming a leader for the first time. And I do draw upon those corporate experiences and I say, before you become a leader, you need to find out how you lead yourself and who you are first. And there's all these beautiful books in the world that you can use to educate yourself. But from what? Educate yourself from who you are, what you believe a leader should be. And I think that was one of my big learnings in a corporate position, was that when you're growing up, you have these incredible role models. And I came from, as I said, a high entrepreneurial family. So I had parents who were two big role models in my life. And you experience these people. You think, oh, I want to be a bit like that. I like this. And you gain all of these experiences. But you need something to stick them to. And the values of who you are is first. And that comes from who you are, who the voice you want to be speaking with, and through what channel. And that's very important for young leaders today. And that was a massive lesson I learned in corporate life. You know, you're experiencing, you're going through this incredible journey. But be careful that you don't mimic other people's leadership styles and that you start from who you are first. And then you can gain strength by looking at things that work, but know who you are first and the platform from what you're coming from. And I think even though you've got corporate and entrepreneurial world, that thinking is exactly the same, your voice and starting with yourself.
It's that beauty of intersection, and I like to call it managing the inner leader. You know, when you can tap into the depths of your self-awareness, oh, the great place to be. I love that. Thank you for, you know, talking to us from two different vantage points and kind of, you know, summarizing it to show that there is an intersection. It's an intersection of belief. And we wear many hats in a day, and our belief can be consistent across all the different places and spaces and positions and extrinsic titles, et cetera, that we want to give. So I love that. Okay, the second question has permanent residency on the show. I've asked over 260 leaders this question. What imperfection does Julie bring to her heart-centered leadership?
Imperfection. I think it sort of stems really from being yourself, because from that point, your imperfections become part of you. And I think as a leader, there is a consistency that people look for. People want to know who's turning up every single day, and they want to be able to, in a way, predict it. And you want to be predictable. Now, the only way you can be predictable is coming from that inner self of clear values. And that's a very, very important thing, because then the imperfections that you have sometimes can be considered quite overwhelming, quite sort of driven. And if that comes from the place of what you believe, it's easier for people to become a part of that journey without them feeling overwhelmed about your energy level and your drive. And that's very important, I think, is the predictability about who you are. And that imperfection, for me, is being driven and an absolute self-belief. There's always a way to make that change. And coming from yourself, coming from your inner voice, it's easier for people to connect to that. Rather than thinking, oh my goodness, what sort of journey is she on? Can she believe that this is possible, etc.? When it comes from a balance of a basis of who you are, it's easier for people to connect to rather than feeling overwhelmed. And that is that absolutely drive beyond that there is always an answer out there is an imperfection that I have, that consistency, that absolute drive to never giving up, I think would be mine.
I love that.
Finding that answer.
Well, and sometimes, you know, it can come with a whole suitcase of emotions, and it's that tenacity and drive, especially in entrepreneurship, to not give up because we fail forward. It's all interconnected.
Definitely.
Okay, my third question. You've gone from family business, being in a corporate position, to entrepreneurship. We all know that having a well-defined purpose can be a positive impact. But how do we get the initiation, the drive, the motivation so that we don't get attached to the outcome? Because it's great to be a visionary and know what you want to achieve, whether it's recognition or money or all the things extrinsic. How can you maintain that positivity? And what's kind of the on button to get that initiation going and flowing and, more importantly, sustaining?
Yeah,
what's your tips?
Well, my tips are definitely, you mentioned it, is that clear vision. And I always say to entrepreneurs, you don't have to own the picture of that vision. Your only job as an entrepreneur is to inspire the curiosity to get to that picture in others. That's your job. You've got this amazing idea that you really want to see happen. And by having a vision, a clear vision that you communicate and that is understandable to others, brings a space between you and that vision. And that's the space where you can make magic happen with other people. If you hold on to that vision too tightly to yourself, it becomes very confusing for other people to follow. And it becomes more of a passion and an emotive journey. And that's a very difficult thing for people to follow in leadership. So by translating your passion into a defined purpose and vision, it brings something that other people can follow. And then you can inspire that vision beyond yourself so that other people can follow. People follow these great ideas, especially the undone ones, the ones that have yet to be created and fully founded. And when it's within a person, it's very difficult for people to follow. People don't follow people. They get inspired by people, but they don't follow people. They follow a journey to a great idea and making something amazing happen. So make sure you create that space between you and your vision, because that's the space that really makes incredible leadership of great ideas happen.
It reminds me of the space in yoga, you know, when you take that deep breath in, and the sweet spots when you choose to hold it and how long you choose to hold on to it before you want to exhale.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Well, yeah, I liked your exactly analogy, that. And that's what it made me think of. And it's so true. Like, find the sweet spot, but don't get caught in it. You got to keep moving and working towards the outcome. That's a great, I love the way you frame that. Okay, my last question is, you left a successful financial company, a business. There's always a story. Talk about I'm sure you had this visceral level of uncertainty of moving forward. It could have been a failing forward in your eyes in the beginning. How long did it take you to find your purpose, to take that uncertainty and really bring it into a level of clarity where you were just unstoppable?
Well, I think I've always wanted to support women entrepreneurs. I think that's something that in my corporate life, I've always aspired to, is bringing and leading, especially young women, into the sort of the front face of leadership. And that's something I'm very passionate about. And I think having opened up a big brand in Europe, and then I heard for years and years about all these great ideas that women had, that they went, oh, but I don't do it anymore. Oh, but yeah, it didn't go well, or I fell out of love with that business. And I said, oh, why is that? And there were certain questions that they put upon themselves as their fault. And I couldn't help but think to myself, if only you had found me earlier, because some of the challenges about growing businesses are not an individual founder's fault. It's just the way businesses grow. And they blame themselves and thought, I'm not good enough for this, and came out of the business. Whereas I see, well, it's just your business trying to torture yourself. Businesses grow in a series of waves, and you just needed to get onto a different wave. And I thought, if I could actually sort of coach and support women to understand that, perhaps we won't lose so many of these great ideas. And I had this incredible experience growing big brand in Europe that I thought, let me try and translate that into young founders, so that this pain or things, this personal guilt that it's your fault, something's not growing, doesn't happen for them. And that was my inspiration for moving into that area. And of course, I had an amazing career, and I still do quite a lot of work for the corporate organization I came from. So yeah, it wasn't a total goodbye, but I just knew that that was a part of my personal purpose and values to translate that into others. So that was really my motivation for being a part of it and starting up my own company.
Well, and you followed your heart. So that just inspires me on a whole other level. Okay, I'm going to switch to my Fab Four. These are just four fun questions. We just want to know what's sitting on the top of that brilliant mind of yours. First question, name a word or phrase that shows up daily in your leadership.
Well, for me, it's got to be alignment of key growth drivers. And that means, are all stakeholders, all people you work with, are you aligned? And whenever you find this little bump in the road, the question you have to ask yourself first is, what's misaligned? It's never one reason why you hit a bump. So I always say, what's misaligned? There's something, if you look at a power ball in how you drive through life, one of those key drivers is misaligned. It could be the purpose, something not working there, the way you're working, the team and the connection to the purpose, or it can sometimes be the customer themselves and a misalignment between what their actual needs and relevance, the relevancy of what your offering is. So I always say, before you blame somebody or one thing, ask yourself, where are you misaligned?
Great advice. Okay, name a book that you've read at any juncture in your life. What was the name of the book and the author, and why was it impactful?
Well, I've got to say, I do sit with it here. It's The Buddha and the Badass by Vishen Lakhiati. And when I read this book, the thing I loved about the connection with higher purpose and the way businesses run was there's so much about the journey that I had had. And I thought there was a connection that could make the journey I had made, you know, something go, yeah, so this can be true. This is the way that things should work. Purpose-led, the way that we should put higher purpose in what we do and create visions that are beyond ourselves, I think was incredibly inspiring for me and a bit of a validation for the journey that I'd had, which is always good when someone's written a book about it. It's like you're in it. But I really highly recommend it, especially in today's world where purpose-led growth is something that I think not only to aspire to, it's something the world is asking for.
Absolutely. Okay, third question. I'm granting you a wish. I'll give you a little bit of context. You get to have dinner with a leader of your choice. This leader could be living or they may have passed away. Who are you having dinner with and what is the dinner conversation?
Well, that's a very interesting one. I think for me, the leaders would be obviously around business. I'm very curious about how other people see that part of growth. And I often would like to, entrepreneurial-wise, I'd like to have dinner with Richard Branson, I think, and ask him about how he was inspired through his background to do what he did and make the changes that he made. And I think that I sort of stand by that real driven purpose that Richard Branson has. And of course, I have dinner occasionally with role models like my parents and about how they made the difference with the purpose. Mm. How did they keep believing? How did they keep going forward for 40 years, still feeling inspired every day? And I think that connection to inner purpose is a very important one to keep being curious about, because that can only be down to the individual. So asking that question, how do you keep your inner purpose and drive? I think that's an interesting one for all great business leaders today, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's been delightful to meet you and have you on the show. And I'm going to have you finish this episode by finishing this sentence for me. Heart-centered leadership is?
Putting every single one of your stakeholders first towards your vision. That would be mine.
Thanks so much for joining me today on Imperfect, the Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and have learned some new tools for your leadership toolkit from our amazing Heart-Centered guest. If you like the show, feel free to give us a rating and a review, and we always welcome your feedback anytime. If you're ready to master the art of heart, my new book, The Heart-Centered Leadership Playbook, is now available on Amazon, or you can click the link below in our description.